It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in, locked in, all over North America. Whether you're here in Atlanta with me, maybe you're in Baltimore, maybe you're in Florida rooting for the Panthers, maybe you're in Canada, maybe you're in San Francisco. Shout out to all my folks in the Midwest. Maybe you're in New York with our producer, Ryan Botcher. Thank you for being here. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I hope you are amazing. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We've had some great guests. Thank you so much to Bob Nightingale from USA Today. He came on through to talk some baseball. Thank you so much to Matt Moore joining us to talk some NBA action, courtesy of the Action Network. And we've had quite a day. Rafael Devers had his introductory press conference. We found out that Tyrese Halliburton is getting ready to have an MRI on his calf. Not good. If you're a fan of the Indiana Pacers, and things are good right now this minute and second, if you're a fan of the Florida Panthers right now against the Edmonton Oilers, trying to eliminate them and win their second consecutive Stanley Cup, the Panthers, after the first period, they continue to score goal after goal after goal. They lead the Oilers 2-0, 2-0 here after the first period. We'll keep you up to date on that one as it continues on. Obviously, the Florida Panthers, they are looking to eliminate the Edmonton Oilers for this second consecutive season and walk away with the Stanley Cup. Lord, the Stanley's Cup. They're playing at home. I want you to take a listen to what their star, Matthew Tkachuk, had to say about playing at home, trying to finish it off and win the cup for the second consecutive year on home ice. Listen to this.
Yeah, we have that advantage. Playing an elimination game at home here again in this situation. It's no secret, cup's in the building. It's going to be the toughest test, biggest game. We're just excited to be back home.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, you know, a botcher is hard to tell here when you're sitting around watching a game live and you're on the air. Is Skinner, he didn't get, I mean, it's in between periods. They didn't bench him, did they?
Again? I hope not. The way they scored was insane. I don't think he deserved to be benched for that.
Okay. I looked up. I'm like, oh, damn it. We got two goals up already.
Yeah, it was a bad turnover behind the net.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Right now, between periods, waiting on the second one. The first just ended. Florida Panthers lead Edmonton 2-0. We'll see. Edmonton certainly has its ways. They've bounced back before, so let's see if they can do it again and force a Game 7. Speaking of forcing a Game 7, Indiana Pacers, that's exactly what they want to do. They lose last night to the Oklahoma City Thunder, 120-109. Tyrese Halliburton is limping around trying to play only with 4 points. And to the shock of nobody, he's going to have an MRI if it hasn't already taken place, if they don't already have the results. This is what Shams had to say about Halliburton's calf injury on ESPN.
Malika, the belief is that Tyrese Halliburton has strained his right calf, and I'm told he will undergo an MRI to determine the exact severity of this strain. And remember, this is the same leg that he had ankle soreness in last week. He was adamant after Game 5 that he would be playing in Thursday's Game 6 of the NBA Finals. It is the NBA Finals, but it was described to me today that if this were the regular season or even the first round, there's doubt that he would play. So once the Pacers and Halliburton get the results back on this MRI on that calf strain, they're going to be able to identify the severity and then huddle and map out exactly what the plan will be going into Game 6.
Man, Game 6 is Thursday. Is there a shot that you're going to give this guy? I don't know. You give him a shot? You got to feel his legs? They're going to numb the pain? I don't know. I ain't never heard of a calf strain that you do not feel or that can't get worse or that cannot rip. Tyrese Halliburton has to weigh this very carefully. And he spoke and he's like, listen, I get it. It's a Game 6. If we don't win, we're done. We got to try to force a Game 7. Listen to what Halliburton had to say.
The thought is if you lose, the season's over. You know, so our backs are against the wall. You know, we take pride in playing at home in front of our fans, and our fans are amazing. So, you know, we know they're going to come out with a ton of energy, you know, in game six.
I just want to know, is Tyrese Halliburton going to shut up this offseason if he loses? If he wins, of course, he's just going to be everywhere. If the Pacers win, it's going to be one hell of a comeback, right? I don't anticipate it. But if he wins, if he would have won, this man would be on WWE television. He'd be selling the T-shirts. He'd be everywhere. If he loses and has to nurse a calf injury, a leg injury throughout the course of the offseason, then at least he stays at home. We don't have to hear about him as much. If he wins, he will be insufferable. And speaking of annoying and insufferable, oh my God, this guy takes the cake even past a Tyrese Halliburton. At the beginning of the show, not too long after we got started here, Rafael Devers was introduced as the newest member of the San Francisco Giants. We know the Red Sox moved him across the country. Apparently, he wanted to be moved. I guess it didn't matter where, but he didn't want to be in Boston anymore. And so now he is a San Francisco Giant. And he was asked, Rafael Devers, about the past, what happened with Boston. And, Rafael Devers said, I'm not thinking about the past. I'm thinking about now and the future.
I'm moving forward from the situation in Boston. Now I'm looking ahead with being a San Francisco Giant, and I think that I'm just going to compete.
Yeah, basically, I ain't there no more. It's not my problem. I'm somewhere where they're leaving me the hell alone, and I make the same amount of money. So here I go. Buster Posey, the president, I bet you he could still play too. Anyway, this is what Buster Posey had to say about how long this trade took to get together.
Yeah, it's something that has been in the works for 3 or 4 weeks. You know, Zach had conversations with their group, and then eventually myself and Craig Breslow the last week to 10 days. And it was good. It was obviously negotiations. Things are going to go back and forth. I was texting with Craig today, and we're just thanking each other for the candor and the respect that went into this negotiation.
In hilarious fashion, Craig Breslow, he spoke to the media as well about the trade. He's the one who traded away the superstar. And he was asked whether or not he needed to do a better job communicating with his players. You know, Devers did not appreciate the, hey man, go play first, or go play third. And he didn't appreciate all of that. Listen to what Craig Breslow had to say about whether or not he needs to be a better communicator.
I don't know if this outcome would have played out any differently. I think that there's a decent chance that it wouldn't have, but I absolutely need to have the humility to think back on the interactions and figure out what I could have done better.
Just about being humble. Yeah, you can't be a know-it-all. I mean, you've already ticked off one player who's no longer on your team, and he didn't appreciate you not communicating with him, especially being a former player. That's Rafael Devers said. You gotta kiss some ass now. You gotta make the guys who are still in the building, you know, feel like, hey, our guy actually cares and thinks about, you know, what we think. What about what Rafael Devers thinks about his new location? Is he gonna play first? Is Devers going to play third? Is he just going to be a complete pain in the behind? Well, he says, now that I'm in a new city with a new team, I'm going to do whatever the hell they ask.
I'm here to give my 100%. I don't put any buts. They're the men in charge. I am here to play wherever they want me to play.
He's just being petty with the Red Sox. If only the Red Sox got that response, we wouldn't even be here in this predicament, but I guess the Red Sox needed to communicate a little bit better as to where exactly they wanted him to be. Or maybe they should have just said, we're going to look at Bregman and we want to move you around. Start there. That would have been an easy one. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Man, of course, at the end of the show, we'll get into a few things that took place this day in sports history. Next break, I can't believe this. Botcher, were Noah Lyles and Tyreek, they were really going to race in Times Square? I mean, it sounds like a bunch of crap to me.
Were they scheduled? Yes. Do we actually think they were going to? Most likely no. There's too many health issues.
Health issues for what? For both of them?
Like risks, I should say.
Oh.
Well, for who, it's not worth it.
Who more importantly, though? But and not is one weighted more than the other? Well, Tyreek Hill makes millions and millions of dollars. So, I mean, if...
What are qualifiers? I think if qualifiers were near and Tyreek Hill has training camp in a few months or a month or two, it makes sense for both of them not to risk tearing a hamstring some dumb competition.
Oh, absolutely. But I think if anybody has... Well, Tyreek Hill was just running a race last weekend. And so I think, man, if I got to think about this, if I'm Noah Lyles, I'm going to let Tyreek Hill run around and be a knucklehead all by himself. I'm not even going to get involved in it. A matter of fact, let's take a listen. This goes back to August of last year. Noah Lyles, Olympic gold medalist, called out Tyreek Hill on the Nightcap show with Shannon Sharpe. Listen to this.
Tyreek say he wants some of you, Noah. I can't believe you know who Tyreek is. Don't do that, Noah. You know who Reek is. The cheater.
I'm going to be honest. I forget his name all the time. I'm
the cheater.
If it's not about track and it ain't about League of Legends.
There we go.
He said, come get some.
Tyreek is just chasing clout. If he really wanted to race people, he would have showed up like DK Metcalf. The man dodges smoke. I don't got time for that.
Would you be willing to race Reek in a 60 or 100 if we got some sponsors to put some money up?
If he's truly serious about it, I'm not talking about you just talking on the internet and you ain't actually coming to me and talking to my agent and saying, let's set something up. You are seriously about it. You'll see me on the track.
Oh, well, they were supposed to race in Times Square. And it just got canceled. They said it was a conflicts, and now it's not going down. Well, who the hell is going out in Times Square to watch these two guys race? There's a bunch of people who would do it. It garner a lot of attention. I mean, here we're talking about it now. But in Times Square, there's so many things to look at in Times Square, mostly bad. Why would you do so? I mean, there's cracked out Mickey, there's, I don't know, Meth Head Batman, there's Dirty Elmo. The naked cowboy is out there. They're the ladies that are running around with the feathers on their bodies. I just don't know. And this is where you want to do a race? I just, like spare me the entertainment. There are more entertaining things in New York City than watching these two guys just try to show. And let's be real. Tyreek Hill might be fast. Like, Noah Lyles is world class fast. There's no debating a guy who's running a 100 meter going out there and doing it in 9 point whatever seconds. Tyreek Hill is doing it in 10 plus. That's like night and day. I wouldn't be interested. Boncho, would you go see these guys race out there?
In person? I'm going to say no, just because it's going to be over in, like you said, 10 seconds. So it's not worth it to get through the traffic, pay the subway fee, and then wait behind a bunch of people you don't want to be around just for 10 seconds.
Boy. How much is subway? $3 now, right?
Yeah, it's $2.90.
One way on the subway?
$2.90.
It's $3?
Yep.
Oh, my God. The express bus used to be about that much. How much is the express bus one way now?
Ooh, I haven't taken an express bus ever, but I'm assuming it's close to $5, $5.50.
Oh no, bro. No. Man, it was that way a long time ago. Like if the subway is $2.90, man, they're giving you more of an upcharge on the express. Oh wow.
Only time I'd be on the express bus is if I had the free student Metro card. That's it.
I don't think you get on. You could get on an express bus with that, a student Metro card?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. Hey, kids, get on the train and the bus, the normal bus, not the fancy one. Wow. What a world. Yeah, there's not a race in New York. I'd rather watch two cockroaches race. I can find that more entertaining. I've seen two rats run on the tracks than what we would get out of Noah Lyles and Tyreek Hill in 10 seconds. And I can see it now. Noah Lyles would beat him. And Tyreek Hill would talk smack and give him a hug, or he'd be a complete jerk afterwards. But I probably think it was probably the first option there. So, yeah, anybody looking forward to seeing Noah Lyles and Tyreek Hill, wait in another lifetime. Maybe when both of these dudes are retired and done with their respective careers, then they'll go ahead and do so. Yeah, we'll see. I need to let you know about the Defensive Player of the Week brought to you by the Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Last night, I told you about the Thunder knocking off the Pacers 120-109. But their superstar player, their MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I'm going to call him the Defensive Player of the Week. Fine. Best offense, great defense. 31 points, 10 assists. Also had 4 blocks and 2 steals. Now, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander must think that he is Shohei Ohtani, just doing a little bit of everything. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. I'm going to talk to you about Caitlin Clark and whether or not somebody actually hit somebody back on the other side. And we have so much more to do. The JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Hey, now we're underway here in the second period. The Florida Panthers lead the Edmonton Oilers 2-0. Reinhardt, Tkachuk putting in goals here for Florida. As they're already ahead here and trying to win their second consecutive Stanley Cup and their third consecutive appearance here. And the festivities surrounding the actual victory at the end are always so much fun. The Stanley Cup, they have the best presentation. They have the best celebration. I think the history of the Stanley Cup and everybody getting it and taking it somewhere, that's a lot of fun. You got the guy with the keeper of the cup who's running around with the white gloves. There's a lot of history. Hey, Boccia, you think the Stanley Cup got to be the best trophy, right?
Best looking trophy, I'd say yes, and then Lombardi's right behind it.
Best looking. What do you mean?
Aesthetic of it, you know?
Oh well, I think the aesthetic, the tradition surrounding it. Well, you had something else you wanted to add, or
I was just mad that the keeper of the cup just a very bad job of it because I guess it's like his job, you know, to promote the Stanley Cup final and all that. But at the same time, the cup's been everywhere. Everybody uses it, especially the winning teams. You know, he does a very bad job protecting it.
Well, what do you mean? It nobody's lost it.
Nobody's lost it, but there's been dents and there's been dirty. It's a lot that goes into the cup.
What is he follows the trophy around? What is he supposed to do?
Take care of it. It's his job.
Take care of it. Like what are you? Hey, don't do that. Like what is he gonna do?
Don't throw, I don't know, 3 beverages in it. Don't throw it and dent it.
Oh man,
there's got to be some limits.
So have you ever met the guy? You ever seen the cup?
Nope.
He's a nice guy. He ain't gonna bother nobody. He carries it around, man. That's it.
So he's just awkwardly standing there while the hockey players just use it for a day?
I don't know if he's following it around that much, but yes. Yes, he is.
Ugh.
I mean, he's not top flight security of the world. He's just he's the keeper of the cup. I mean, that's all he is.
It's kind of a creepy job now.
To follow a trophy around for you?
And you're not really interacting. You're just kind of standing there awkwardly in the background looking at it?
That's after the players win it. Like, what are you going to do? You don't butt in? You can't tell them what to do. They won it, right? It's theirs. It belongs to them now.
For a day, each player. And then even still, when the hockey season's not in season, what is he, sit in a dark room and watch it?
I don't know. You can ask him.
I should.
Well, I think he's kind of busy right now, but you can certainly ask him. Keeper of the cup. What other league has that? None.
Yeah, no other league has that. But then there's some other traditions, like, I don't know, kissing the Lombardi, that's there.
Ah, whatever. That's
basketball is boring.
They just redid the trophy for basketball, and Larry O'Brien just looks, I don't want to say it looks horrific, it's just, I don't know. What do I know? I'm not out here building trophies. Now, I can judge the hell out of a, you call these stupid things that they're building now of everybody. Tom Brady's getting a new one. A statue. I can judge the hell out of a statue, but, man, these trophies, not so much. The commissioner's trophy in baseball is kind of,
That's cool.
They've remodeled it, too. Just pennant flags? Like, what are we doing? I don't know.
I like it. It's not the greatest thing, but it's nice look at.
That's been remodeled over. I think maybe the NBA has gone to the extreme in like the dimensions of the basketball when they give it out, and now it comes out of a Louis Vuitton case. It's like, oh, the NBA can put the trophy in a Louis Vuitton case, but they can't have player introductions nationally televised. It's just, I don't know. Whatever. Hey, we'll see if they roll that Stanley Cup around. Later tonight, people are putting their kids in it, drinking beer out of it. They're traveling with it. I just maybe the keeper of the cup. You think he sanitizes? He keeps it clean.
I hope so. That's like one of the three things you have to do: keep your eye on it, clean it, and then make sure nobody steals it.
One hell of a job. I'm sure he has a feature length article somewhere. I'm gonna have to go ahead and look that up. The keeper of the cup. What the heck does he do? Meanwhile. I guess Caitlin Clark is done getting beat up. Indiana Fever beat the Connecticut Sun 88-71. Now, Connecticut has a record of 2-9. That's terrible. I know Alyssa Thomas is now gone, but that's pretty bad. And so maybe that's why they wanted to go out there and push Caitlin Clark around. She finished tonight with 20 points, a 4-6 from downtown, 6 assists. This is her second game back. We saw in her first game, Caitlin Clark went out there and scored 32 points in 31 minutes. She is a machine. I'm just waiting to see if eventually at some point in time, one of her teammates, you know what she needs? And I don't know if he's available. I know he is available, but he can't punch a woman. The WNBA doesn't have a Charles Oakley-esque figure. There's nobody somewhere that could help out.
That should be, I guess, I don't know. I would say that there should be. But there's not that many roster spots to have these type of enforcers. So yeah. maybe someone come out of college that's like, I don't know, just a straight rebounder, can set screens, and it's tough.
There is a lot of chippy play in this game. So one of the young ladies from the Fever decided to drag another one down to the ground. I don't know. Maybe they need to beat the hell out of each other to make things interesting. And this is also actually the Commissioner's Cup, a final. I don't know. You keeping up with that? The Commissioner's Cup in a WNBA?
I knew of it last year because I think the Liberty won or lost. One of the two. They won 1 or 2 years ago. So I knew it existed. Did I know it was happening now? Did I know who was in it? No idea.
I could barely keep up with the NBA in-season tournament. Now I'm supposed to know what the Commissioner's Cup is? I don't have no idea. Is baseball going to have some stupid in-season tournament too next? Is the NFL going to do something dumb? I mean, well, they do want to expand to what, 18 games sooner than later?
Yeah, 18 is not that bad, though. That's
18 games in an NFL season is not overkill?
And compared to an in-season tournament, that means nothing? I'm okay with that.
No, I'm not talking about hey, let's just do something catchy. 18 games for NFL players who are already hurt through 16 games and 17 games. Now you want to tack on another one, and it's, oh, well, we're eliminating games that the guys don't already play in. I get it. I understand it's all about the money. But I feel it's been decades from when they started moving from 14 to 16, now 16 to 17, 17 to 18. What does this mean? It means one day, I don't know, I'll be a little bit more gray in a rocking chair. And they're going to have, what, 20 NFL games in a season? Like, don't think 18 games is, like, overkill already? I feel like 17 is pushing it, and they only did 17 to get to 18.
It just depends how many buys they get. So if they go up to 18, they get the second buy, I'm okay with it. It's all about rest versus the game schedule, so they can make the week one more week of games, but make it a night. Was it 19 week season?
Yeah, having an extra bye week is nice. Whoop-de-doo. these dudes are still going to get beat to shreds, man. They are. It's inevitable. Like 18 games. Maybe this is why the NFL is over here pushing the flag football. Hey, we get flag football out here. By the time we have to readjust the NFL, we've already halfway done it in international competition. It's just that is a wild gimmick. The players don't want to do it. They're just like, well, am I getting paid more money? Is the answer yes? Let's figure it out. But you guys don't want to play 18 games of NFL football? No thanks. Uh-oh, who's on ice? Somebody hurt? Is that Martian? Yeah. No.
15, is that Lundell? I don't know. A lot of names.
Yeah, he's well. Either way, they're at least they're in the lead. Belletti, man, what you think about 18 games in the NFL? It's inevitable. Isn't that overkill?
Yeah, but I hate 17. So I know you're not going to go back to 16, which is what I would do.
Yeah.
Then you got to go to 18 because the 17 makes me crazy.
Why? Because you can't go 500?
Well, no, it's just the idea that like you have a different amount of home games versus road games every year. It's different. It's just it doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense other than to get to 18. So then you know what? Stop screwing around. Get to 18.
Yeah, I was fine with 16 games, man. And I think the quality, and what do I know? I don't think we've had a large enough scale. But at the same time, and who am I to say this? Marco, do you think the games are as physical as they used to be?
Overall, no. I mean, guys, look, they're bigger, faster, stronger. There's no doubt about it. But the game has changed a little bit. The physicality was a little bit more in the trenches, and it was a little bit more of over the middle, and there was a lot more danger in some of the stuff. So, yeah, we've gotten away from some of that. I think you're going to get into – I think the quality of play, no offense. This all started when they went back to not basically practicing as much. And I'm not saying two-a-days and got the pads on it. No. And I'm not saying that you have to do that. I'm not advocating for more onto the players and make them more injured. I'm not saying that. But the quality of play has come down because guys don't practice. So we wind up with the first 4 weeks of the season. You might want to go to 18 because the first 4 weeks is a crapshoot. It's basically they're practicing because they can't practice. They're never in pads. Forget special teams. That's why there's a flag on every play on special teams because they don't practice it.
By the time we get to the end of the season, I don't. How many guys are going to be invested into what's taking place? Like, still checked in mentally. Yep. Forget physically, but mentally, it's like, man, what are we doing? We're still out here. Where are the playoffs at? Well, what the hell are we doing? I don't know.
100%. And that's why the teams that are good, you're going to struggle with that. Teams that are bad, I mean, forget about it. They're going to be completely checked out by halfway through the season. So for all those that love tanking, congratulations. The longer the season is and the more difficult it is, the more you'll be happy to have guys that are going to wind up, their body's going to make them tank. Not because they want to, not because they care about your draft pick, because they're not going to be here for next year, but their body's going to make them tank because they're like, the hell with this. I'm beat up and I'm tired because you put them through too much. But the first at least 4 weeks, if not 6 weeks of the season, teams are trying to figure themselves out because they don't practice.
But
we forget by the end of the year because they all find it. But at the beginning of the year, it's bad football.
Well, think about this. We all know that there's teams that are just absolutely horrific. And now we're tacking on another game? I don't know.
Yeah. Look, it's bad. But, I mean, we're not going back to 16. I'd be all for that. Go back to 16. And to be honest, as much as I enjoy Thursday night, I'd get rid of that too. Because that's part of the reason why these players are all beat up and tired is because you force them to play on short weeks constantly. It used to be a big deal when the team was like, man, you're forcing me to play on Thanksgiving on 3 days rest, and I got to do this for this whole year. It's going to mess up the whole year. Now we make them do it all year long, and we don't care. We don't care at all.
Well, welcome to Black Friday game, Thanksgiving game, Christmas game, Saturday games. Yeah,
and then we turn around and go, well, you're not practicing, so to hell with it. You'll be okay. We don't care. Yeah. We don't care. Oh,
well, no, we don't. Well, the NFL doesn't care more.
Yeah, what's the over-under?
On what? Them caring?
No. That's the only question everybody – was the spread? Was the over-under? Nobody cares. Nobody cares about these players. So I'm not saying that we have to. I'm just saying as long as we're, I don't know, cognizant, as long as we put it out there. Like, we get it. We want 18 games because we want to see the extra game. Just know that you don't care that these guys are breaking down physically. As long as you can – don't try to pretend that it's okay. Just say it out loud and then say what's the spread.
Yeah, well, you should ask, who's the wide receiver that was here? He was here in Atlanta, and he went to Jacksonville. He's the real cheater. You can ask him. Or you can call up Ipe Mizuhara. He got a lot of time on his hands. You think they let him gamble in prison?
Apparently nobody knew he was doing it before he got to prison, so why not?
Yeah, he might be doing it on the side.
Can he call the bank and see if they'll wire him some money? Oh, he could be anybody he wants now.
Yeah, what? He needs a small loan of $3 million, right?
For a car.
Right, yeah. Yeah, what a world. Yeah, well, he's in prison 57. How long is 57? Well, it's 12. Damn, he got quite a few years in there. I was going to say good luck to Ipe Mizuhara, but he's going to serve time here. They're going to send him back to Japan. Isn't that what they're going to do?
I don't know. I don't know how that works. I mean, I guess when he gets out,
he is in prison in Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's worse than being.
Let's be fair. Once you're in prison, do you care where you are?
Are you in Colorado? You in Pennsylvania? I mean, Virginia. What difference does it make? You wouldn't know, right? Outside of looking out the window, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they get. Is it the hour a day outside? I mean, I guess if you're in a place where it snows, that sucks. But like, I don't know.
If you're in Pittsburgh, you just be inside all year long. I guess.
I don't know. That's what I mean. Like, does it really matter at that point?
Yeah. If he's in Colorado, what does it matter? It's like, I don't know.
You really want the nice weather in a good spot?
Maybe.
You want to be in like San Diego if you're in prison?
Maybe that guy wants to go back to Japan. They were like, no, you're going to stay here and just serve the time. Wow. They made him probably watch Shohei Ohtani last night for one inning. What a world. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. But right now, what's going on in the world, period? It's time for a news flash from Marco Belletti.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. The Florida Panthers still on top of Edmonton. 2-0. A little less than 5 minutes to go here in the second period. If things can, Edmonton can just score in pockets and quick, so I'm not going to close the door on them at all. But if they continue on like this, Florida will be back-to-back champions, beating the same team two consecutive seasons. It's some big history that they're trying to make here right now. And speaking of history, it is the end of the show, which means it's time to take a look at a few things that took place this day in sports history.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for this day in sports history.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything and it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. It is June 17th. The year is 2025. But if we go back to June 17th, 1960, Ted Williams, he joined the 500 home run club. I mean, at that time, there wasn't a lot of guys. You had Babe Ruth, Jimmy Fox, Mel Ott. They were the only dudes to go out there and hit 500 at this point in time. Well, Ted Williams helped the Red Sox. They won 3-1 over Cleveland. Take a listen to Mickey Mantle talk about Ted Williams knocking them down.
I think that had he have gotten to play all the time, there's no doubt in my mind he was the greatest hitter of all time. And he did have a lot of power, too. I saw him, you know, we talk about him having to play in Fenway Park where it's 380 to right center. I saw him a lot of times hit the ball way up in those bleachers there. So I don't think that it made that much difference. When he caught the ball, he had as much power as anybody.
You got to think about the time he took off with his military service. Hey, June 17th, 1992, Charles Barkley, he gone, moving from Philadelphia, going out to the Phoenix Suns. Well, he took them to the finals in his first full year. Listen to this via documentary.
I never played on a team with two other All-Stars before.
The buzz started, I mean, when him walking through the airport, the deal going down.
Arizona, for whatever the persona of Arizona, Western outpost, the Wild West, you know, whatever there was, the John Wayne spirit of Arizona, said, that's our guy. And, you know, they loved him from the second he got off the plane.
And we gave up one of our more popular players in Jeff Hornacek, Tim Perry, Andrew Lang in that trade. And then Charles came in and was all pro his first year.
We gave up a lot, but we got Charles. We were never disappointed.
Yeah, Charles Barkley had a busy day. That, I mean, he had a busy year. Got traded, dream team. Hey, busy guy. He's kind of still busy now. He's sitting around at the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. Hey, June 17th. 1994. I remember watching the NBA Finals with the New York Knicks and the Rockets, and then this happened with O.J. Simpson. This is courtesy of Sky News.
Yep. Look at the people. Look at the people. There's the left-hand turn onto Sunset Boulevard.
Yep.
Now from there, if he's going to Brentwood, he'll be passing Barrington, Bundy,
look
Cliffwood.
David, and God, about, can't we get back on?
A half mile or a quarter mile from Cliffwood, on the west of Cliffwood, is Rockingham.
David?
So we'll...
There appear to be no barricades in front of the house.
No.
Looks as if he has free access to drive in.
There's the ground shot on your right-hand side. That is Rockingham and Ashford, and that is O.J. Simpson's house.
And there's someone in the doorway there.
Yeah, O.J. Simpson with that that car chase. Quite an eventful life for O.J. Simpson. June 17th, 2010. I remember this. Lakers, they beat the Celtics in seven games to win the NBA championship. 83-79 was the final score. Kobe didn't have a great game at all. Had to go out there and rebound and pass. Had to do it all. They walked away with the victory, though. Take a listen to the final call on ABC, courtesy of Mike Breen.
Rondo looking. Gets it to Pierce. Pierce turns. Back out. Rondo fakes. Dribbles. Puts up the three. Won't go. Rebound to Saul. Kicks it out to Odom. Odom throws it ahead. Repeat back-to-back titles. The LA Lakers, the 2010 NBA champions.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant, 23 points, 6 of 24 shooting, 15 rebounds, 2 assists. I remember that. That stat line was pretty crazy. Hey, speaking of championships, how about this? June 17th, last year, 2024, the Boston Celtics, they went out there and they beat the Dallas Mavericks to win their 18th championship, knocking off those, beating and passing the Lakers, breaking the tie with them. Here's Mike Breen with another call on ABC.
This crowd on its feet, the best team in basketball all year, all the work, all the sacrifice, handling the enormous weight of massive expectations, ends tonight here. It's over. Time to say it again, Boston. Anything's possible. Banner number 18 has been secured. The Celtics are NBA champions.
Yeah, Celtics were champs. They knocked off the Mavs. We realized Luka was never going to play defense. He was a fat crybaby. And ultimately, Nico Harrison said, all right, bruh, bye. And there you have it. Those are a few things that took place this day in sports history. It has been June 17th all day long. Looks like we might be able to add something else to this list. Right now, the Florida Panthers have now taken a 3-0 lead here in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals. If they hold on and win, they are your back-to-back Stanley Cup champs. Going to really suck for people in Edmonton. I mean, I'm not putting this in putting them in Buffalo Bills territory, not by any stretch of the imagination, but when you got to lose to the same team twice in consecutive years, that hurts. And Skinner's still in the net here for Edmonton. 2 minutes to go here in the third period. Yeah, Edmonton, I'm not counting them out yet, but they're running out of time. They're definitely running out of time. I would say we'll keep you up to date as we continue here, definitely on the Infinity Sports Network. Not on this show. Botcher, I gotta shut up and leave soon, no?
Yeah, a little soon. Very soon. But the last time it was 3-0 and we said this looks like the series is over, they did come back to win. So I'm not gonna call it.
Not this late though. They were starting to chip away at this point in time, right?
Yeah, it was close. But even still.
90 seconds left. They're running out of time, man. Tomorrow we'll be having a chat about the Florida Panthers being Stanley Cup champs. We'll see how that one goes. Hey, thank you so much to Bob Nightingale for coming through and joining us from USA Today to talk some baseball. Thank you as well to Matt Moore for coming through from the Action Network to talk some hoops. I mean, give it 2 days, and it looks like the NBA Finals, that they will be done as well. Some wild, wild stuff here. Yeah, this will be fun. At this point, 3-0 Florida Edmonton. They might as well just put the cup out there behind the boards and just let's just hit the fast forward button. I'm looking forward to not even the rest of this game. Just give me the celebration. I'll be looking forward to that. Anyway, folks, if you've missed a minute or a second of the show, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. We'll be back with you tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. It'll be time for a new top six list. It's what I do every single Wednesday. And that's been history, a part of the show. Damn it, before I even got to radio, starting off online. Anyway, Bacha, you got any final words?
Go Oilers for the next period.
Yeah, you just want more hockey, right?
Yep, more fighting.
Oh, more. Yeah, well, listen, if this is out of hand, well, if this gets out of hand, it definitely going to get to fighting. I'm here for fighting. The JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network is done. We'll catch you tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Don't move, though. Bart Winkler is coming up next.